Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. One more time here. Isn't he wonderful?
Praise the Lord. Amen. We can see that we have seen. Our eyes have seen. Amen. Blessed our eyes because we're able to see. Blessed our ears for we are able to hear by His grace. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm not going to sing now. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And if you have your Bibles, we'll look right in the scripture tonight. But always good to be in the house of the Lord. Yes, looking forward to tonight and this weekend.
Amen.
And I talked to Brother Solomon Huffman a little bit, but I didn't make him nervous, so I just tried to encourage him. Well, you make him nervous when he gets here. That's right. But he's looking forward to being here with us, and he knows me, and I think Brother Bob, maybe some of the other brothers, but wonderful young man, and looking forward to him being with us. And, of course, Brother Tim Cross, always wonderful to have him with us, but looking forward to a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
And so if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, begin verse 1, and many needs. I want to hold them up, but so talking to a man today that I work with, and his name's David, and his dad is 80 years old, and he's fighting multiple organ failures right now, and y'all just pray for him. He lives in, he tells everybody he's going to Chattanooga, but he said, my dad actually lives in Lafayette. It's like, I know where that's at. He said, most of the time I just tell Chattanooga because you don't tell them where Lafayette is. Nobody knows where that's at. But his dad's, he's been driving back and forth and working, and he's changing shifts so that he can spend more time with his dad. And y'all just pray for him because he's working and doing a lot of traveling because that ain't close to home. So I just told him we'd be praying for him. And I know his dad's 80 and facing multiple health issues and all that, but God's still a healer.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, they had a commercial one time, always tell everybody that had this lady in real, really bad condition. She went to one of the specialty hospitals for cancer, and the doctor told her, said, you know, you ain't got an expiration date stepped on your foot. You know, anybody can tell you, you know, you got 6 months to live, and, you know, 9 months, you got 2 years. We don't know. We can give you an estimate, but that ain't set in stone. It ain't stamped on your foot, you know. Only God knows how long you're going to be here. So, you know, we don't know what God has in store for us, but we know he has all things in control. So we don't know what the future holds, but we know he holds the future. Amen. So y'all just remember that in prayer. And I usually don't bring this thing out here with me. Hebrews chapter 9 and begin verse 1. We'll just pray before we read the scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all your blessings on us. And Lord, we just pray that you come speak to us tonight. Lord, help each one that's here. Lord, the ones that couldn't be here tonight, whatever the case is, Lord Jesus, we just commit it to you. Lord, we just pray that you be with each one. And Father, we just pray for each need. Lord, you've heard the request that's been made, every hand that's been raised. Lord, you know what's on every heart, what every desire is, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for them tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray for David and his dad, him traveling, Lord. And Lord, when you talk to someone and you see the concern and the stress that they're going through, Lord, and you just want to enter in with them and just try to be a comfort to them and just try to be an encourager to them. And Lord, you just move in that situation, Lord Jesus. We commit it to you. And Lord, we just pray that these services this weekend, Lord Jesus, as we come, Lord, just bless each one. Lord, give us what we have need of. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Hebrews 9, begin at verse 1. And it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and had the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I titled this tonight, The Bread of God's House. And, amen. You know, Brother Branham talked about Bethlehem being the house of God's bread. Amen. And I just was looking at some things. And as it approaching Easter, and I'd spoke on communion a little while back and in Sunday school, and just kind of looking at a few things here, and just kind of want to look at a few things in regards to all of that. And, you know, this is from the message, Israel in the Church. And Brother Ram said, he said, Christ is in all the Old Testament, in all the Old Testament. And he was talking about you go through every one of the waters of separation, the red heifer, all of the things that you go through, everything. He said how the hyssop and the cedar wood all mixed in together, how the hood, how the wood and the tabernacle, how the brazen altar, the laver, the shewbread, everything pointed to Christ. And him, and it says, in him we are complete in Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at a few things tonight, because we know all the scripture talks about, we see Jesus Christ in all the scripture. Right. The whole thing, the whole book is about Jesus Christ. And we see Christ in every aspect of the scripture. And we see how everything is in the Old Testament. It types Jesus Christ. And we know that when it comes to the New Testament, we see Jesus Christ and we see the life of Christ. And you know, one of the things that Brother Branham mentions, he said, you know, God gave us three ordinances. There was three things that God showed for us to do. And he said the first one was water baptism. And he said the second one was communion. And the third one is feet washing, foot washing. And, you know, when he began to talk about those things, and, you know, when you see those three things that God give us to do as articles, ordinances to do in the church, you know, you see the life. And doing some reading, you see the life of Jesus Christ in each one of those, because, you know, you look at the at foot washing, you know, when you look at the aspect of the foot washing, you know, Brother Branham said it was an act of humility. Yes. And so you see the life of Jesus Christ. You see, you know, the first thing that it takes humility, but it also shows the servitude, the heart of a servant. Amen. It shows the heart of love for somebody to be able to do that. Yes. And, you know, you see how Jesus wanted us to see his life, because, you know, when Jesus came, you know, through the Old Testament, the Pharisees and so many of the religious leaders of the day, and so many, all they were looking for was a king, and they were looking for the Messiah, and they were looking for all these things that was going to take place. And yet when he came in such a way that they didn't recognize him. They didn't see him because he didn't fit the mold. He did not fit their idea what the scripture said. But see, it was him coming, him condescending to be in fellowship with us, to walk the same life that we had, to go through the same things that we suffer, the same trials and tribulations, the same struggles. He went through the exact same thing, because he went through all that he can be our high priest, that he can suffer all of these things. He knows how we feel. But, you know, he came to do that because he wanted to see how we live. He wanted to be, but he had to do that so that he could be our propitiation, to
be our sacrifice. He had to come in the form of sinful flesh to be the one that would be the sacrifice to pay for our redemption. And you see how he came, and so that was an aspect that we see how God wanted us to see how he lived, but not so that we see how he lived. And even in, you know, when it comes to the communion table, and you know, and he begins to talk about all these things, then he tells you, I'm your master and Lord, and you say that I am because I am. But he said, you've seen that I'm your master and Lord, and I've done these things. He said, you ought to do these things to one another. Because I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And you know, because we see how he descended and he came down, but he could lower himself. Because when you look at, as Brother Branham said, when you look at the time and the hour and the days in which he lived, you know, that was one of the worst jobs that you could have. I mean, it was the worst of the worst, the lowest jobs that anybody could have was to be a foot wash flunky. Amen. I mean, you know, if you had that when you didn't have any social status,
right.
You know, I mean, that was a job that some people probably didn't want to tell anybody. I wash people's feet.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was in the time that they lived, nobody wanted to do that job. Even, I mean, probably the low, even of all the servants and all the slaves, that was probably put on the lowest one in the bunch. They had to do that job. But the King of Glory came and condescended to do that job for us, to show us this is an act of servitude. And so it doesn't matter who we are, who we think we are. It's to be as low, as Brother Ram said, to be as humble as we can be. See how low you can live. He said, because the more humble you are, the closer you are to God, the closer you can get to God. So we see how living in this realm to be as humble as we can do. And so to follow these ordinances that God give us to do. And we see that when it comes to, you know, foot washing and then communion. Here's the communion when you're there and, you know, taking the bread and you see how we take the bread and we break the bread.
Amen.
And, you know, Jesus sitting there expounding to the disciples. He said, this is my body that is broken for you.
Yeah.
See, you know, and everybody says, well, you know, the Eucharist, you know, the Catholics believe that this becomes the literal body.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the literal body, when you read the scripture, the literal body was in front of them, and the literal body was what was talking to them.
Right, man.
The bread that he gave them was not his body.
No. Right.
But he said, you do this in remembrance of me. So it wasn't a literal thing, but he was showing this is what you're supposed to be doing. Because when you take of that, it's communion, it's fellowship. Because that's exactly what he was doing when he set forth for them to go into the upper room and him stay there. And he began to talk to them. And he began to talk to them about what was going to take place. Because we know that they was hearing this in the first upper room. You know, here they are, and they're very sad because he begins to talk about all the things that's going to take place. And they're very unsure of what's going to take place in the future because they don't understand. But he begins to try to expound to them and tell them, listen, this is what's going to take place. But don't you worry, because I've prayed for you. And that all these things will work out because it's according to God's plan.
Amen.
They didn't understand that, but he began to explain that to them. But he wanted them to understand that through this you're eating my body, but all at one day the Spirit will come. But there at the table, he gave them the bread and said, you eat, this is my body. And he said, this is, and gave them the wine, this is my blood that you drink. But he, one day that the Spirit would come and it would quicken the word that they held. But he is explaining that to them. Listen, to give them encouragement, to understand, hey, this is what's going to take place. But they didn't understand that. But he also knew that they didn't understand. But he began to just to tell them, don't worry about it. Because when he began to tell them about what was going to take place in that upper room, and he began to tell them all the things that was going, they were going to face in the upper, that upper room. They didn't understand what was going to take place. But, you know, when he told Peter, listen, you're going to deny me and all these things are going to take place. But you know what? Don't worry. I've prayed for you.
Amen. Right. Praise the Lord.
He didn't turn Peter away because he kept telling Peter, listen, this is what you're going to go through. See, he already knows what we go through, and many times the Lord has told us, and sometimes we don't listen.
Amen.
The Lord tells you ahead of time what not to do or what's going to happen.
Amen.
But we're just like Peter. Sometimes we're too dense for it to catch, for it to land in there.
Amen.
In our gray matter for it to actually work.
Amen.
Because sometimes we don't want to listen to what God has to say because we don't want to have to go through it. Because you know what? It's not a pretty sight. It's not going to be what we want to face.
No, right, exactly.
But it's what we need.
Amen.
That's right.
But see, after they go through it, all of that in that upper room, and he begins to fellowship with them, commune with them, tell them. See, here they are in this one upper room, and they don't know what's going to take place. But you know what? When he raises from the dead, and he goes and he tells them, he tells the women at the grave, he tells them to go tell my disciples that I will meet them.
Amen.
In Jerusalem.
Yep.
And so they go, and then he tells them when he goes to ascend, because he comes back and he begins to expound exactly what took place.
Amen.
He told him, he said, listen, I told you, tear this temple down. 3 days, I'll raise it up again. That's exactly what took place. And when he began to expound all these things, because he began to tell them about the kingdom of God being a spiritual kingdom, and then they still stood there and say, well, is this time you're going to defeat the Romans? Are you going to take over the world now?
Yeah.
No.
Man.
Do you remember what I told Pilate? I told Pilate that if my kingdom was of this world,
right,
my followers would fight, but we didn't fight. Why? Because I know what Pilate doesn't know is that one day all of this will be mine. I will have dominion over this all one day. We just got to allow the plan of God to take place. Because I don't have to worry about fighting because I've already all got it under control. The Father already has it under control and he already has a plan laid out. And all we got to do is walk through it. What do we have to do? All we have to do is like Jesus said, we've got to die to ourselves and not have our own will, but to have not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
And if we allow the plan of God to take place, then you know what? It'll all work out exactly to the glory of God.
Amen.
And so as we see, then what did he do? He told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
So here they are in one upper room, meeting with Jesus and being unsure of what was going to take place. And here they are coming to another upper room, unsure of what's going to take place.
Right,
and even when Brother Branham begins to talk about them being in that upper room, and here they are, and they say, well, do you think we got it? And he's like, well, yeah, we've been up here long enough. I think we probably got it. And he's like, no, you tarry.
Amen.
Until you be endued. Until you be filled with, overflowing with, until you know something's taking place, until you be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
Until something takes place.
Amen.
As Brother Wade always talks about, he wouldn't get in that electrical panel because he don't understand those things. But let me tell you something. All you got to do is get in that panel and get some wires crossed. And all of a sudden, you'll see things you've never seen before. I watched a man working on a floor scrubber one time, and he got a screwdriver uninsulated. He got it across the terminals. The next thing you know, we're all seeing lights. He just about melted that screwdriver in half. Why? Because there's power there.
Man.
And you know what? Something took place.
Right, amen.
And it's just like you stick your hand on something.
Man.
You know, when I was a kid, Richard always says, well, I always tell stories on him, so I'm going to tell a story on me. Write this in your book. I was a kid. I was standing on the couch. So you can tell I was little.
Yes.
I was very young standing on the couch. That's how, like Dad always said, I never was little, I was just young. So when I was younger, I was standing on the couch. But I was looking inside of a lamp, and there was no light bulb in the lamp. And I did not know what I was looking at. And I was like, that's neat. And there's that little plunger
little thing down in the middle of that light socket. I was like, hey, what does this do? Guess what? Won't do that again. I didn't understand the laws of electricity. But let me tell you what, I got in contact with it. And that's why I don't have to do that no more. I know how that is. Well, and that's the same way with the power of God. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of it. But let me tell you, when you ever get a hold of it, when it ever crosses you, when it gets inside of you, you don't have to have somebody tell you you got it. Because something takes place. You know, somebody didn't have to tell me that electricity was real. I got all I wanted that day. And it's the same way with the power of God. When you, he said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. When they were in that upper room and they were in a place where they were unsure of what was going to, they were uncertain in their walk. They were unsure what was going to take place. All they had seen was Jesus had ascended, and they went in and stood in this room and they were afraid of what was going to take place. But all of a sudden, that time when the rushing mighty wind came in and he began to break up in cloven tongues of fire, and it began to settle upon all of them, and they began to act like they were drunk. And all of a sudden they had a new way of looking at things. And a new way of acting, and they didn't care what anybody thought of them or what anybody said, because all of a sudden they opened the doors and here they go right outside. Right. Amen. Hey, people wonder, who are these crazy people coming out the door in the middle of the day? But you know what? Peter began to talk, and he said, listen, stood up with the 11, and the scripture says, you know, he said, these are not drunk like you suppose. No. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. That I will pour out my spirit. Amen. And when the outpouring of the spirit, then they began to proclaim exactly what Jesus had said and began to talk about who Jesus Christ was and what the word was and a fulfillment of the word for their day. And they begin to understand all those different languages, all those different countries. They begin to understand in their own language, in their own tongues, exactly what the word of God was for their day. And see, that's exactly what it takes place when you get into that. And so that's exactly what it has to do. And so when you see these things, Brother Adam said, when you had that experience, see, then you can come to this table and begin to eat of this bread, because it is showing that you've overcome something. Not just anybody can eat of this bread, because it's for the overcomers. It's for the Christians. Because it is showing something that's taken place. And so you eat of this bread. And then the other one is you know, and he says, because of eating the bread, he said, when, you know, this is my body, you eat. And he said, you shew the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. And so we understand that through foot washing, we can see the life of Jesus Christ. And then we commemorate his death through the communion, eating the bread. And we see how it commemorates his death. But we also, when it comes to baptism, we understand that baptism is, you know, to understand that baptism, speaking of being baptized. And understanding that you had something to take place in your life, that you follow in the ordinance of God. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, for the remission of sins. Why? Because you've had something to take place. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. But when you come to that place, just as Philip was speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, when he began to speak the word to him, and you know, when he began to understand what the scripture said, understanding what Isaiah had written and all the scriptures, as he began to expound and he began to see those things, and he said, here's water, what hindereth me from being baptized? Why? Because when he began to see the truth, you know what? It led him right to the water. Amen. And it's the same thing, baptism, when you see something that's taking place in your life, then go to the water. Amen. Well, is baptism essential?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something.
You know, because you know what? We're not all just like the thief on the cross. And you know what? He didn't have no chance to do anything. Or other people living on their, or having a deathbed confession. That's somebody else's experience. But let me tell you, you can't walk and talk and come to church and everything like that and never be baptized. You can't walk and talk and live a life and expect to have what you need and claim to be a part of Jesus Christ when you've never been to the water and been baptized. Because if God has dealt with your heart and he's brought you to an altar or a bedside or a closet or wherever or a tree stump, if he's ever brought you to that place and he's changed your life and he started to lead you, then you know what? The first thing he's going to do is lead you to water baptism. Because, you know, it's the same one that led us, that called us out of the gutter and out of the worst places that we've ever been. Because out of all the darkness in the world, and when he's brought you into his light and he begins to put you on the road and you start walking this narrow way, when he puts you on the path of righteousness, he's going to lead you right to the water.
Amen.
Yes.
No doubt.
Amen. And so, you know, it's where everybody tries to, you know, they always try to find loopholes for everything. Yep. Well, the thing is how close do you want to get to God?
Right.
Many times, it shows that there's not been a true conversion.
That's right. Amen.
If you can't come the way God has prescribed it for us to come, then it shows that there's not been a real heart change.
Amen.
Because if God's changed your heart, then you know you want to get as close to God as you can.
Right.
You know, Brother Bram, telling the story about, I believe it was the man that was running the buckboards or the stagecoach or whatever it was, and you know, he wanted to know how close everybody could get to the edge, and it's like, well, you know, I can get so close, and the other guy's like, I'm scraping the wall.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the guy I want. I don't want somebody trying to run on three wheels and one of them hanging off the cliff, you know. No, I want to see how many people can stay in the road, keep all four wheels on the ground. Because, you know, it's everybody, well, let's just see how close we can get. Well, you know, it's like, well, I just stay right on the edge. Get right on the edge. Well, you know what? Sooner or later. Everybody, well, I just, the Lord knows my heart. And, you know, I just like this and that. Well, listen, anytime you get in your mind, get the mentality, you know, we just want to try to see how far we can get on the cliff and hang off and, you know, the devil will be right behind you and he'll just give you a little nudge. Just come on over. Just hang out a little more. And then he'll just give you a nudge, and then you're off.
Amen.
So, Lord, why did this happen? Well, you got yourself in a bad situation to begin with.
Amen.
But see, God wants us to follow the ordinances that he's placed in the Scripture. He wanted us to follow these. And if we can see the death, burial, and through baptism, Romans tells us that through baptism, we are buried in the likeness, we are raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
So if we go through the ordinances that God has placed, we can see the life of Christ, we can see his death, but we can also see the resurrection.
Amen.
And so we see each one of these things has an important aspect of what God wants us to do. Not just something that we go through, it's not just some kind of motion.
Right.
It's not just some act that we do. But it has a significance.
Amen.
And so God wants us to do each one of those things.
Amen.
To follow him. See, he wants us to see the life and the work that he has done. Brother Bram says, as he is here on earth, we see some of his work. And he said it is meant in Christian faith. He said, he is here, the stream of all Christianity, the head, the beginning, the origin of the Christian faith was Jesus Christ, God's Son, the beginning of Christian faith, the starting point for all mankind of all ages. To look at that starting place and begin from there, he was an example to us. So we understand that, you know, Jesus When you look at the scripture, you know, even Jesus, because he had to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament, that even Jesus, when he came to John in the River Jordan, you know, he come to John and John said, "Lord, I need to be baptized of thee." And Jesus said, "Well, suffer it to be so, but we must fulfill all righteousness." Amen. Because the law said that the sacrifice must be washed, and he came to the prophet to be washed, to be baptized, because that was scriptural for him to take place. So if it was important for us, if it was important to him, then it's important for us. So is baptism an essential thing? Well, if you're still walking and talking and still living, then yes, baptism is an important, essential thing for you to do. If Jesus was on the earth and he done it, if Jesus could get down and wash the disciples' feet, if he could wash their feet, if he could take communion and break bread with his disciples, then if it's important to him, then it's important to us. Amen. When Paul began to talk about the widows and the different ones, you know, they had to been able to take the communion, because every time they gathered, they were taking communion. But it also said they had to be the ones that were in the church that washed the saints' feet. Right. It's an essential thing for us to do. Amen. Each one of those things is essential for our Christian walk.
Amen.
Because if he done it, if he's our example, then all the things that he done is exactly the things that we ought to do. And so we see these things as very essential. And if he would wash their feet, because he is our pattern, an example of Christianity, then we ought to do the exact same thing. We ought to wash one another's feet. Now, when it comes to the communion, and looking here, it said... the bread of God's house, and I wanted to kind of explain that tonight, and just kind of something that's been on my heart. But you know, to understand why we do these things, it's such an essential part, not just the communion and that, but every one of those ordinances has an essential aspect. There's so much more that it means to you when you go through those things.
Amen.
And what a wonderful thing when you see somebody, when they've been out in sin, and you see somebody go to the water.
Amen.
When you see somebody that has struggled in their life, and you see all what God has done in their life, and they go to the water to be baptized, and God begins to lead them that way, and all of a sudden, you know, you see God change their life, and you know, it's a real testimony. It's a real testament to God's power of what he's done.
Amen.
And it's so essential. If you've not been baptized, it's such an essential thing. I pray that everyone, that if you've not ever been baptized, I pray God touch your heart, that you get baptized.
Yes,
I thank God.
Amen.
I thank God that we've had so many baptisms in this church.
Yes.
People have drove down their stakes and they have give the devil a black eye. And you know, if you've been baptized before and you want to get baptized again, if you feel like being baptized again, I say get baptized again. Until you get the assurance and you get to the place where you feel led that you need to be, it's an essential thing. I wouldn't hold nothing back, and I wouldn't have no reservations or concerns or worries about anything.
Amen.
I wouldn't give the devil no place. But I want to look here tonight, and when you look at the communion, and one of the things I was looking at was the bread. And I read this scripture out of Hebrews because it's the one scripture that I was reading, you know, the one scripture that talks about the shewbread and the manna, both of those being in the house of God. And so, you know, when you see the type of what the communion is and understanding, because we know Brother Ram said that communion was fellowship. And you, Brother Ram said one time that communion was like an oasis in the desert. You know, to have communion with God and to fellowship with God. And so we see that it's a fellowship that we have.
Amen.
And so it's an essential thing. But when it talks about the shewbread, you know, the shewbread was in the sanctuary. It was in the first or in the second veil,
right,
as you would think, from the first coming into the second one, from the outside coming in, where the sanctuary is. And so the table's there. It's not in the holiest place, but in there where the candlestick and all that is. But when you see that the bread was there, and you look back over through the scripture, and you see that how the scripture talks about the different breads. And you know, the first time we see them talking about the bread that was God had given them a commandment was when they were coming out of Egypt, and he begins to talk about the bread. And you know, he talks about them taking the lamb, and the lamb, because when he said when they got ready to leave Egypt, he tells them, he said, listen, he said, the death angel is coming, and he said all the firstborn, both man and beast, will die in Egypt tonight. But he gave them the promise, he gave them the surety. He said, you take a lamb for your family, and he said, you take the blood of a lamb with no blemish in it, and you take this lamb and you take the blood and you roast it all with the entrails and everything. And he said, you put all that together. And you're roasting that, and you know I've never imagined that being a wonderful smell. I mean, lamb and lots of things might smell really good roasting, but having all the entrails in it's probably not the most aromatic thing that you want. But
amen.
When you take all that together, and you take this blood and you put it on the doorpost and the lintel, and you get ready, and you eat that with your shoes on and your staff in your hand, ready to leave Egypt. And he said, you eat this lamb with unleavened bread, and he said, you eat it with bitter herbs. Why? Because you're going through something that's not pleasant. And so, because all of this is a struggle, this is all. But when you see what's going to take place, so you know, and then later on, when Moses begins to speak to the children of Israel after they eat all of this, and he said, "Don't leave anything over until the next day, but you burn the rest of it, and everybody in your family has to eat of this lamb." And he said, you roast it all together and you don't put any water in it and all the different things that you have to do. Why? Because you don't water anything down. You don't have your own ideas put in there, but you roast this fire, you roast this lamb in whole, because you got to take the whole lamb, because when you get ready in the Passover, because that's exactly what God has prepared for us, is a Passover, because when we are passing over, because we are leaving judgment. The world is under judgment today, but praise God, he's made a way for us that if we will take the word and we eat the lamb exactly the way that God has given it to us, then there is a way to get out. And that's the only way that you get out. And so when he begins to talk about this, because even the bread that they ate was unleavened, meaning that there was nothing mixed with the bread. It was just the meal and the water. There's nothing else added into that. It's just flat. And you know, many times that's why Brother Branham said, you know, when he got up and started preaching, he's like, well, I'm just going to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to be plain.
Yep, right.
Why? Because that's exactly the way you got to be.
Amen.
Because there's no mixing with that. As Jesus talked about leaven, the leaven being sin.
Yep, right.
And the ideas of the Pharisees, they said, don't have anything to do with that leaven.
Right.
You do away with all of that. It's just straight bread. And so they eat this unleavened bread when they were going out, because there was judgment in the land and they had to prepare themselves.
Right.
And so they ate unleavened bread.
Amen.
So when you see them eating this unleavened bread going out when they were being delivered, and then when later on when he tells them, listen, when you commemorate eating the lamb, when you come out of Egypt, even then you don't eat leavened bread. And then he said, when you prepare for the Passover, because when he talks about in the feast days, when you go in there and you come to this time and you're preparing for the Passover to eat the lamb, he said, you don't even have it for another 7 days.
Right. Right. That's true. Man.
That's right.
You make sure you don't even have leaven in your house.
Right, brother, man.
You got to search and get rid of everything.
Yes, sir.
Anything that's contrary to the word.
Amen.
Anything contrary to this. Why? Because there's no trace of it anywhere.
Nope.
So we get rid of all this, so we have unleavened bread. So when we're eating this unleavened bread, then we see that he continues on. Here we are eating this unleavened bread. And then when it comes to the time of them eating the shoe bread, when they're making the shoe bread that goes in front of the into the holy place, when they make this, then there is no leavened. They're following the same pattern of making this unleavened bread. But the scripture tells us that he says, you in Leviticus, he says, you take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. And then he says, in 2/10 deals shall be one cake. And he said, you make 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. So we know that those 6 in each row, so there's 12 cakes that are made. And we know those 12 cakes represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And they sit before the Lord. And the scripture tells us that we know that they are made every Sabbath. They were changed.
Yes, that's right.
So those 12 cakes set in front of the Lord in the holy place for a whole week. And the next Sabbath they were taking out, and the 12 more were placed before the Lord.
Amen.
Now the name of the shoe bread is called the bread of his presence.
Right.
Because it's bread that sits before him all the time.
Amen.
Because, you know, you see how the scripture says that Jesus said in believe it's in Matthew, he said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
So there was always bread sitting in the presence of God.
Amen.
For them to have. And we know that when that time ran out and the week was over with and it was changed out, then the priesthood could eat that bread.
Right.
And the bread was given to the priesthood. Then they were able to eat that, but they had to eat it in a holy place.
Right.
But that was always before the Lord for them to always eat that. And so they were always eating that. And it was always a continual covenant before God that he was always with them. And it was always before them that he was always their sustainer.
That's right. Amen.
Every tribe was before the Lord in his presence all the time. And so it shows that when God wants us to understand that that's where he wants us to be, for us to be in his presence. And if you get in his presence, then there's always bread to eat. There's always a fulfillment because he always wants you to eat. There's always something for you to take place. All you got to do is get in God's presence. He's always, because you're always in, because you're always before him. You're his children because he always had the bread representing the children of Israel before him at all times. And it's the same thing. So you're always before the Lord. He always has something for you. He's always leading you. He's always guiding you. He always has something for you. But he wants you to realize that you're always there. That, you know, even when David talks about, you know, our names were written in the palm of his hands. You know, when you see all these things that, you know, he could never forget us. That God has something for you. See, we see how this the shoe bread was laid out, and Brother Branham begins to talk about how the shoe bread and all the different types, how the shoe bread lays out. And you know, one of the things that Brother Branham talks about, the shoe bread, and he begins to talk about the Passover. And you know, when he talks about the shoe bread coming into the Passover, and you know, in the Jews always make 3, and Brother Branham talks about this a couple of times. He says, you know, when you see that, he said the Jews never understood why they had 3 loaves of bread. When they go to do the Passover, there was 3 loaves there. And he said they still don't understand why there's 3 loaves. Because he said the first one is when they start the Passover, they make a blessing on everything, and that's over the first bread, which is the highest bread, the highest ranking bread. And then there's the middle piece, and then the lowest one is at the end of the meal, at the end of the Passover, and they bless the one at the end, which is the lowest of the 3. But the middle one, they said they never understood why that middle one was there. But the middle one is always broken. It's all the middle one is always broken, and Brother Rand said they still don't understand. Even when you read even you read some of the Jewish scholars, they don't understand why. But they have their different ideas of why they do that. One of the things they always talk about is that they always talk about that when you go into a blessing and you have this meal, you always, because Jesus and even God told in the Old Testament, he says you always have the poor. The poor you have with you always. And he said, you never forget the poor. And so, and he said, you never forget the hungry. So they always set aside bread. And so there's this bread that's broken, and they always say, because in their blessing is God has blessed us, and we are here eating this Passover, but there's those that don't. And so, you know, and Brother Branham always, when you read Brother Branham, when he begins to talk about this, when this bread is broken, he said that was a type of Jesus Christ being broken. And he said, because the middle wall partition is torn down. And he said, that's exactly because there was God, which is the first bread, which is the highest bread. And he said, you and I are that last piece because we're at the end, we're the lowest. But we have to have one, a mediator between God and man.
Amen.
And the one that has to be the mediator between God and man is the one that's broken.
Amen.
And so when you see how they talk about that broken, and they said they don't even understand that.
That's right.
But when we come to the communion table, that's what Moses meant. When you come to the communion table, and here's this bread, and you stand here, and we pray over it, and we bless this bread, and we break it. Why? Because he was broken for us. Why? Because we had to have somebody to be in that place. We had to have a propitiation. We had to have a mediator. We had to have had one to stand that could break down all the barriers to bridge that chasm between God and us, because there was no one else, but there had to be one. That he stepped down from the highest of highs to step into this place. As the scripture says, he was made a little lower than the angels, but he came into this place and he was broken for us to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
And what does the scripture say in Isaiah? That, you know, and Isaiah, you know, he said, you know, because, you know, I've been anointed to preach to the poor. And what did it say? When they break that bread in the middle, what did it say? We're recognizing the poor. Who came to the poor? Who was the one that brought good tidings to the poor, to the meek? Who was that? Jesus Christ. All of those things that it talks about, he was the perfect example of that shewbread being broken in the middle.
Amen.
And so we see how all these things take place. All this was a part of showing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All the things that he done for us. That he bridged that gap.
Yes,
and that shewbread being broken for us. Who we were and what we needed. And he was that exact same thing.
Amen.
You know, when you talk about in the scripture, and when you begin to look at some of these things. You know, the interesting thing about this shewbread, was hallowed. It was sanctified, and it was placed before that. And when it was taken away, it was allowed for the priest to eat that bread. You know, it was not given just for anybody to eat that. But you know, in Matthew, you read the scripture where Jesus and the disciples are walking through the field on the Sabbath day. They're walking through, and the disciples begin to eat grain.
Yep.
They begin to take the grain from the field and begin to eat. And you know, they rebuked Jesus and said, your disciples are not following the law. They're breaking the law on the Sabbath.
Yep.
And what did Jesus tell them? He said, did you ever read where David...
Amen.
David, when he was hungry and he went before Ahimelech, it's 1 Samuel chapter 21 if you want to read it. But you know, he goes before Ahimelech and he's on the run. And he goes in there and he says, he asks for bread.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he says, I need, do you have any bread? And the high priest tells him, said, listen, so we don't have any common bread. There's no, he said, all we have is the shoe bread that came from the altar.
Yep. Right.
And so when you begin to read that scripture, and then he asked him, he says, you know, what do you have? And he says, you know, well, he said, we've got this common bread, but he says when he asked him about it, the first thing he says is, well, you know, where have the young men been? And, You know, he says, well, the young men, he said, as long as they keep themselves from women. Because he said, you know, they've not been with any women. And he says, at least they've hallowed themselves this much. And he said they can have this bread. The priest, chapter 21, verse 4 says, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and he said, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So when he begins to speak about this, because when that bread was brought out from the holy place, and when it was brought out, it was common, really, but they could eat it. But it was interesting that Jesus, when he begins to speak of this, he said that bread, that hallowed bread, was given to David and his men, and they began to eat that. And he says, well, how was it that Jesus, you know, Jesus said, well, how is it that David was not breaking the law when he was eating the shoe bread that come from the altar, yep, from the table, when he come out of the sanctuary, and the high priest give it to him, and they ate it, and it wasn't counted against them. Right, and he said, well, how was that? That was, and then he said, you know, they were eating, the disciples were eating on the Sabbath. Why? Because they were hungry. Why? Because one of the things that the Scripture tells us, that when you see in the Scripture, one of the things that's even in the Old Testament, that he said, you never forget the poor. Right. He said, you never forget the hungry. You never forget the stranger. Right. Because, you know, he tells them, he said, you take care of the stranger when they're inside your land. He said, because you were strangers in Egypt one day. He said, you do not overburden your strangers when they come into the land. He said, because you were burdened and overrun when you were in Egypt, when you were a stranger in the land. And when you come into the, when they come into the land, said, you don't treat them that way. You remember them. And what did he tell them? When you plant your fields, he said, you don't harvest the corners. He said, you leave the, he said, what was that for? Yep. He said, because it's for the poor and the hungry and the needy and the widows and whoever else, because they need to have a portion. Yes. Why? Because you always remember them. Amen. And so when it came to time when they ate the bread, when David was hungry and he came before the high priest and he needed something and the only thing was hallowed bread, guess what? He gave it to him. Why? Because he was hungry. Yes. And when they were walking in, when the disciples were walking in the field and they were hungry, then there was something for them to eat. Amen. Why? Because that was exactly what God has come for. Because he is for those that are hungry. Amen. He said, because if you hunger... Jesus said, he said, I am the bread of life. He said, he that it comes unto me, he said, they will never hunger again. He said, they will never thirst again. Why? Because he is the bread that you can receive. See, just like when people say and talk about coming to the Lord's table. Well, you know what? Nobody's ever going to be perfect enough. Not everybody's ever going to get to the place where they're going to be righteous enough to take the Lord's Supper. Right. But the thing is God makes us worthy. We don't make ourselves worthy. If in our own eyes, we will never take it. But you know what? You got to rely on God. God is the one that makes you that way. And so if you are hungry, then you know what? All you got to do is come to God, because God will fill you. Because even just as David was hungry and said, because, well, you know, it wasn't for him to eat. But you know what? The high priest was there and saw that there was a need. And the need was the bread. And guess what? It was given to them to eat. Amen. Why? Because God sees that you have a need. Then guess what? God has the way made for you. Amen. All you got to do is come to God and he will feed you. He will meet all your needs. Because Jesus, when he began to talk to the Pharisees there, when they were standing there talking about the disciples eating in the field, he said, listen, remember that the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. Because he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And so he makes this thing for us. These things were made for us. I don't know if that does something for me. Brother Bram said, you know, he said, I wish I was twice as much, so he said, I can make twice as much noise. But you know, God makes a way. Amen. Even when we see these things, it doesn't look like there's a way. God makes a way.
Amen.
Even when it looks like God even when it don't even look right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But God makes a way. God takes all things wrong and makes them right.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And I'm gonna finish here in a minute, but I just want to look here and the other portion of the bread is the manna, and I just want to say a little bit about that. But you know, here's the manna that fell as they were on that journey, and the children of Israel was on their journey in the wilderness. And here they are, God fed them manna.
Amen.
Fed manna from heaven and took care of them all the way through on that journey.
Amen.
Even when they were unthankful, God took care of them and he fed them that manna.
Amen.
And here in the manna, they the high priest, that they filled up that omer and they put it in the Holy of Holies. Where that testimony was there, always that God fed them, God always took care of them.
Amen.
Even when they were against God.
Sure.
You know, it's a wonderful. I always tell it when you talk about the Ark of the Testimony. You know when you look at that, all those things that God done was a testimony to the children of Israel what God done.
Amen.
He wrote the table of stone. And the first tables got broke because Moses got upset with them because they had a golden calf.
Yep, right.
And he said, you shall not have any other gods before me. He broke those and God gave them those other tablets.
Yep.
They were the second copy, you know. And it was the copy. It was not the originals. But, you know, those were in the Holy of Holies, in that Ark of the Testimony. It was a testimony to them because, you know what, God kept his promises. They didn't keep what God told them.
Amen.
They were out there worshiping idols and running away from God because of, well, you know what? Moses ain't here with us anymore. And to go to Aaron and say, make us gods. When they'd seen all the things that God done for them, how God brought them all the way through and all the things that had taken place, here he was, and they come into this place and he was like, make us gods. And they were out there running around nude and acting all kinds of ways. And they were out there and they said, this is the God that delivered us from Egypt. So here is the ark, and here is the testimony, the tables of stone with the commandments on it, because it showed that God kept his promise. They didn't keep theirs.
Right.
When they stood there and they told Moses, well, you know what? You make too much. You put too much on yourselves. We're holy people also. You know, God just don't speak to you. God talks to more people than just you. And you ain't got all the rules and the regulations. And, you know, you ain't got everything. You just don't know the mind of God on every situation. And, you know, and it's like, why is your brother the one? It's always family. Well, you know what? If it wasn't Aaron, you know, if it wasn't Moses' brother, you know, somebody else would get the chance. But, you know, it's always family.
Yeah.
You know, and then so, you know, and it's like, no, that's who God called.
Right.
But what did he say? He told us, okay, we'll prove you. Everybody go get a rod, 12 rods,
yep.
12 tribes, 12 men, bring the rods. We're going to put them in the holy place. We'll try it. We'll show you that God will do a miracle. If all 12 rods just say there nothing happens, then guess what? Then you know, you might have a right to say the things. But if God does a miracle, if God does something supernatural, then he's going to show who he's called.
Amen.
Because Moses didn't call Aaron to the high priest. He didn't call the Levites. God called them to the Levites, to the priesthood.
Amen.
He picked who he wanted and put who he wanted where he wanted them. And he put that rod behind in the presence in the holiest. And so when they came back the next day, God had done a work. He chose one rod. And it's like, well, it didn't but just become green.
Right. Nope. Right, brother.
You know, it didn't change colors or anything like that.
Nope.
Right. You know, it wasn't some kind of way that you could mistake what took place.
Right.
Here's a dead, dried up rod, just like all 12 of them. But all of a sudden, one thing took place in this dead rod. It budded and brought forth almonds. Why? Because it was an almond rod to begin with, and all of a sudden when the life hit it, it became alive, and it brought it all the way through till it produced fruit.
Amen.
Why? Because it completed the whole process.
Amen.
It just didn't turn green and it just didn't flower. It actually brought forth the fruit.
Amen.
It completed the whole process.
Yes.
And that rod was placed in that testimony because it showed that God had done the work. When they had stood against God, He showed them that He was still in charge and He was still the one that was leading them.
Amen.
When they were against what He believed, you know, what He said. They didn't believe what He said. And here they are, and we're going to die out here in the wilderness, and we just can't overcome. And look, you just brought us out here to die. We're never going to make it. And you know, and God fed them supernatural manna. Manna from heaven.
Yep,
yep. A supernatural feeding.
Yes.
And so here they are. They had this omer full in the Holy of Holies. Three times they stood against God, denied the word, was against what God had said, and all three times God was standing there in His testimony. In the Holy of Place, the Holy of Holies, there was those three times that God showed them that He was in charge. He had been exactly what He said He was going to be to them. He was the one that He was their provider, their protector. Everything that they had need of, He supplied it. And here the high priest was when he comes into that Holy of Holies. He's bringing that blood in there, and he's standing in the Holy of Holies in the Shekinah glory. And he's standing there. And when he's standing there with the blood, and he's standing there looking at those things, and here he is looking at a rod that budded. And he's looking at those tables of stone. And he's looking at that omer of manna. When he's standing in that holy place, and he's standing there with the blood, and he sees what God has done, and there's the fulfillment of what God had promised them, and they're standing in the holy place, standing there looking at those things, and he begins to bring the blood. Well, what did Brother Bram said? Every believer has the opportunity to come into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
That's exactly why. Because when Jesus died, He said the temple, the veil rent. He said it made access for all of us to step in to the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And what was it? Because it was His blood that was shed that we have access into the Holy of Holies. And the way has been made because it has been opened up. And let me tell you, when you step in there, all of a sudden, then God wants to show you all the things that you've been through in your life. God has already made a way. And if you just stand here tonight, how many can stay here tonight and raise your hands and talk about the things that God has fulfilled in your life?
Amen.
You can see those things just like when He stood there when everything was dead and dried up and there was no way. God made a way.
Amen.
When you were lost in sin and you had no hope and there was no way,
Amen.
There was a way made, and God come to you in your worst position, the loss and the darkness of all things, and you know how God, He just lets everything just get to the worst place that
That's
you
right.
get.
Yeah.
Way down in the gutter somewhere where you got to look up to see the bottom,
right.
And all of a sudden God comes along and begins to deal with you.
Yeah.
And He begins to speak to you and bring you. As Brother Ernie Villanueva said, from the guttermost to the uttermost.
That's right.
Why? Because when God brings you to those places and shows you what God has done for you.
Amen.
When you step into how many, because it, then when you can understand what He says, when you have access, He said, come boldly before the throne of grace.
Right.
Why? You don't have to worry about it, because so many times, well, I don't know what God will do, and you get so worried. If you only begin to see when you have access into that, what
Amen.
God has done for you, and you see all the times that God has brought you through, He's
Amen.
Delivered you, He's healed you.
Amen.
Well, if God's done that before, then what changes?
Amen.
Why? Because if you've had faith that God has brought you to a place of justification, then guess what? When you step before the Lord and realize God's justified you, then if you can realize you've got that revelation that God has showed you that your past sins have been cut off, then guess what? You continue to walk because God will bring you to a place of sanctification. Hey, because if you've seen God do anything, if God's healed you, if God's delivered you, He's paid your bills.
Yep. Right.
Whatever has gone. If you've seen your children saved, if you've seen anything that God has done, then guess what? If He's done it one time, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He's done it for one person, He'll do it again. But He wants you to step into the access that He's made for you, into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And you'll see what God has done.
Yes. Amen.
As that song talks about, well, look what the Lord has done. As He's healed my body. I can't remember the rest of it, but I can think of it. Look what the Lord has done.
Yep.
See, when you step in those things, you see what God has done.
Amen.
God wants you to realize what He's done for you. Where did God bring you from?
Yes, amen.
Amen.
When you began to look at all the things that you've been through, when God brought you from some other country,
yeah.
And He's brought you here.
Amen.
Praise God. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
How many people would have thought they'd be in Georgia? I never thought that.
Right.
But you know what? That's where God put us.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. God's here.
Amen.
We're here.
Right. Glory.
Amen.
Of all the things that we expected to do in life and it didn't turn out that way, well, praise God.
Right.
Amen. All the things that we wanted to put all of our life, all of our effort in, every bit of our being in, and it never worked out.
Exactly.
Well, praise God. God delivered us from ourselves.
Amen.
Glory.
That God brought us to a place.
Right.
And see, God has brought you, well, then eat of that manna.
Amen.
Right.
Because it's there for you.
True,
it's for the overcomers.
Amen.
He said every believer has a right to receive it.
Amen.
Just like every priest coming into the priesthood could get a little of that manna.
Amen.
That manna never gets old.
Nope.
It never rotted. It never got wiggle tails.
That's right. Amen.
Can you imagine? Standing there, listening to the other priests talk about that.
Amen.
We ate of the manna. Our fathers walked in the wilderness.
Yeah. Amen.
And we ate of the manna.
Yep.
And they're there, and they were able to walk in there and see that Omer. And I don't believe that Omer ever went dry, ever got low. They went there and ate it, and they're just as full as when they started as when it, at the end. I don't think it ever run out.
Right. Amen.
And no matter how many times you come to God, God never runs out of power. He never runs out of mercy. He never runs out of grace.
Right,
he never runs out of healings.
Amen.
He never runs out of deliverance.
Right.
He never runs out of peace.
Amen.
Whatever you have need of, there's more than enough.
Amen.
Whatever you have need of, all you got to do is come in there and eat. And take what you need.
Amen.
See, He's here tonight.
Amen.
To give you exactly what you have need of.
Amen.
Don't sell yourself short.
Amen.
Don't sell yourself short on what God has placed there.
Yeah.
Everything has been given to us. It was perfect for us. And so, that's what God wants to give us. And it was originally for us. It was given to us. And all you got to do is receive it. So let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. And just thank the Lord for His mercy and grace to us. I want to sing that little song. I don't know if y'all know it, but within the veil I now do come into thy holy place to look upon thy holy face. And I've seen such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil. Within the veil I now do come
into thy holy place, to look upon thy holy face. And I've seen such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil.
How many's glad you've come within the veil?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Brother, let's sing a song. Amen. We'll have to practice that one some more. Amen. How many of you know that God's brought you someplace? I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not where I ought to be. But thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen.
Leave it there.
Amen. Leave it there.
If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord.
Forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and he'll lead you safely through. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave. Trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Before we go, brother, you got anything? All right. Remember Friday, 7 o'clock. God bless you tonight. And we're going to sing as we're dismissed. God bless you. What you got for us, brother?
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain,
God bless you, dismissed.
And your soul is on